Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, Buglers. I'm Andy Zaltzman. This is Top Stories, the show in which the Bugle raids its own archives to tell you what was happening at some point in human history, provided that that point was since October 2007. Such as this point, 2011, when Muammar Gaddafi was still vaguely in charge of Libya. This is issue 145 of the Bugle, entitled Libyair or Libna.
Top story this week, unrest update. Libby yikes! When we last spoke to you, the Middle East was as wobbly as a jelly on a jackhammer. Egypt and Tunisia had already overthrown their governments and revolution fever was spreading. Now, incidentally, revolution fever is a little like scarlet fever in that hopefully you feel a lot stronger once you're out the other side, presuming that is that you're still alive. But it turns out that the we're not going to take this shit anymore bug that's sweeping the region has proved extremely contagious. Yemen and Bahrain have both caught it, and this week Libya has come down with a serious case of this shit. The difference with Libya is clearly the leader in question, because Colonel Gaddafi is a lunatic. Mubarak was an arsehole, but he wasn't an idiot. Fundamentally, he knew that the game was up, even if he took a few extra days for that to sink in. Ben Ali of Tunisia was a turbo douche, but he was also a realist. He knew when he had to step aside. Gaddafi, however, is a different matter. Here, you're dealing with a grade A psychopath, so it's much harder to predict what someone so psychotically irrational is going to do. And it does seem that he's currently not going to give up power with anything less than something resembling the final scene from Scarface. Coked up, sweating, a bloated mess of the man he once was, screaming, "Say hello to my little friend!" as he unloads a gun indiscriminately from a balcony before being shot to pieces.
He claimed today, I understand, that he was, quote, like the Queen.
I saw that.
I guess an unusual way to try and swing your public behind you. You know, just by confusing them. Saying, I am like the Queen of England. Right? Hang on, I'll just put this brick down and think about that for a second. But I guess when you think about it, John, he's very like the Queen of England, certainly from my point of view, in that I didn't vote for him. I don't particularly want his son to be King of England. And also, I think he's not as big as he was in the 1980s. The Queen, literally so, she's 4'8" now. She was 5'11" in 1987, and then Prince Philip did a magic course. And he tried the sawing the woman in half trick without having attended the last class. And as a result, the Queen is now a titch. But it's a bit embarrassing, John, when we look at this now, and, you know, Colonel Gaddafi did make that seamless transition that we've talked about before between major world terrorist and lunatic to invaluable trade partner with quite alarming smoothness. And it gets even worse. In 2009, the countries of the European Union sold Libya €343 billion worth of arms, or ooh, adult fireworks, as they're now officially known, for tax and health and safety purposes. But It's important to remember that you know, we might have sold Colonel Gaddafi these weapons, but we did ask very, very nicely for him not to use them. I mean, really, we can't entirely be held responsible for the fact that he's now turning them on his own people. Also, we have to remember that, you know, we might have sold him €343 billion worth of arms in a single calendar year, but at the same time, we in Europe will do absolutely anything within our power to further the causes of peace and democracy. Now, can you have both of those things, John? Is that like trying to have a pickled onion and a gherkin in the same sandwich?
Possible, not advisable. It's true, we very clearly put not to be used for naughty reasons on the invoice at the bottom in small print of all of those arms deals. It does seem that Gaddafi has lost control of the majority of Libya now, but he is clinging to control in Tripoli like a toddler clinging to a bug, trying to stop their parents from prying their hand open and taking the probably already dead insect away from them, screaming, "If I can't have it, no one can." And we've spoken over the last few weeks about how every dictator has their own way of leaving office. Ben Ali headed for Euro Disney with gold bars in his luggage. Mubarak scheduled a speech that everyone expected to be an announcement of his departure, only to fake everyone out, speak for 20 minutes about how great he was, and blue-balling 500,000 people in Tahrir Square before taking a helicopter to the beach in disgrace a couple of days later. So, what has Gaddafi gone with? Well, true to form, it's been a sequence of increasingly erratic and dangerous appearances. At the start of the week, he appeared on state TV, talking to cameras out of a car door. A car, incidentally, so tiny that you expected 15 clowns to climb out after him, holding an umbrella and saying that he was on his way to speak to the protesters in Tripoli, but couldn't now because it was raining. And That's a pretty solid excuse, Andy. Your country's on the brink of a bloody civil war. You have only one chance to try and calm people down, but, oh, hold on, will you? Look at those clouds. There is no point getting your hat wet. That's just making a bad situation worse. He made that appearance to counter rumours that he'd already fled Tripoli. He then delivered another speech, standing in front of the ruined garden shed that was his family home when it was struck by American missiles in an attempt to kill him back in 1986. And at times, the camera panned up to show a towering gold-coloured monument in front of the building, showing a fist crushing a fighter jet with an American flag on it, having caught it mid-air. And I would not be surprised if that was something that Gaddafi honestly thinks that he did. Yeah, that's right. I caught a fighter jet with my bare hands and then I crushed it into dust. I can also catch tanks with my teeth and shit out their rockets like fireworks. Isn't that right, everyone? Yeah, sure you can, Colonel. We'll get to work on that tank statue too, shall we?
He did another televised address, John. I don't know if you saw it here. Where he just sang "Here Comes the Hot Stepper" for about 20 minutes, unbroken. Well, I guess that made his point. You know, you mean forcefully made his point.
I guess he's the hot stepper in that analogy, yeah. Isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, he's got hot steps. Fair play.
I don't think anyone would dare to deny
Libyan
that.
Ballroom dancing champion.
He was shouting through the rambling speech, declaring himself a warrior, and proclaimed, "Libya wants glory. Libya wants to be the pinnacle at the pinnacle of the world." Now, come on, Colonel. Libya might want that, but Libya can't have that, can it? You've got to set yourself realistic goals. Otherwise, it's no wonder you're so f***ing angry all the time. That's the problem, Gaddafi. Your outfits are writing checks that your GDP can't cash. Now, the weird thing was that it gradually became clear during this speech that Gaddafi was actually speaking alone from behind a podium in a deserted lobby with absolutely no audience in front of him. And it really did look like the ravings of a madman. There's a scene in Scorsese's film King of Comedy where Rupert Pupkin has a late-night talk show set up in his living room and does a whole show on his own pretending everyone else is there. And as he's doing it, you realise he's clinically... Yeah, you realise he's clinically insane. And that is what this felt like. That Gaddafi was just some weird guy pretending to be a dictator, giving a speech to his terrified nation. You had to keep reminding yourself that he actually was one. He closed the speech saying, "I'm a fighter, a revolutionary from tents. I will die as a martyr at the end. I have not yet ordered the use of force, nor yet ordered one bullet to be fired. When I do, everything will burn." So, you know, extending the olive branch at the end there, albeit an olive branch that was wrapped around a massive machete.
So Bangladeshi just took an awesome catch running in.
Now, look, we should probably point out this is going to be an occupational hazard of the Bugle over over the next month or so.
They're my new team. Bangladesh!
It's good, Andy, that even in the face of the a majority of the Middle East starting to go up in flames and calling for full revolution, you can still be distracted by cricket. I think that shows your love of cricket in a way that nothing else ever could.
Well, the thing is, John, you know, Bangladesh as a country has had its problems. It's taken a battering over the years from history and from nature. And now, through the vehicle of cricket, it is emerging as a bold, proud new nation. And maybe this could be the way for Libya. We just need to sit Colonel Gaddafi down with a video of the 1981 Ashes series and just watch him turn into a changed man. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we haven't tried it yet, but I would argue that is a bit of a stretch.
No, I mean, all we've tried is giving him weapons, and that just doesn't seem to have worked. And Italy is leading this the European League of giving weapons to Libya. Italy sold them €112 billion worth. Now, Italy,
oh boy.
Silvio Berlusconi, you know, if he isn't banging underage girls, he's selling arms to nutcases. And yet they still vote the f***er in. What is wrong with these people? Yes, you can cook, but you need to pay more attention to the rest of your lives. But who was Berlusconi trying to impress with? $112 billion. I mean, it is an odd way of pulling hot young chicks. No, but it seems to work for him. Hey, sweet chick, let me tell you about myself. I just sold $100 billion worth of weapons to a tyrannical despot. Yeah, I sure did. Now do you want to see my plums? He must have some real personal job to pull that off. Germany sold €53 billion euros worth of military kit, mostly stuff used to jam communications. So well done them for facilitating the democratisation of Libya. But however this revolution pans out, John, when you look at these figures, I fully expect it to end with millions and millions of anti-Gaddafi Libyans standing on the coast of North Africa, looking towards Europe with their hands on their hips, shaking their heads, and then slowly and deliberately extending millions of middle fingers.
it'll be hard to argue with their rights and justification to do that. All of these speeches were followed yesterday by a phone call from Gaddafi to state television. So, a phone call, not perhaps exactly reassuring people that he was still in the country. I was waiting to hear a pilot's announcement in the background of the phone call telling everyone that they were first in line for departure and that the in-flight movie was going to be Alvin and the Chipmunks. During the phone call, Gaddafi changed tack, moving from blaming America and the Western media for interfering, and instead blaming Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, saying that they'd been giving young Libyans hallucinogenic pills in their coffee to get them to revolt, saying they are exploiting teenagers, giving them hallucinogens in their coffee with milk, like Nescafe. Wait, what? So Al-Qaeda can't even give them real coffee? They have to cheat them with the instant shit. You see, that's the problem with these extremists, Andy. They offer you paradise for all eternity, but all they're really giving you is instant f***ing coffee.
Yeah, whereas the Italians have given them €50 billion worth of high-quality Lavazza espresso coffee. He also said, I call on the people of Libya to get out of their houses and confront this bunch of people. If they're not brave enough to go out and face this enemy on the street, maybe they should let their women and their daughters go out. And this is the last refuge. When a dictator's in trouble, he starts basically calling his people sissies. Then you know he is fighting a losing battle.
Thank you for listening, and I'm sure, like me, you do sometimes wonder what happened to the old colonel. Find out by listening to a classic Bugle, or indeed a new one, in case we might mention him. They're in your pod feed right now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.